The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." They abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, rise and shine, 7:30, and welcome back, everybody. I thought I would give you a little thought here this morning about our first reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. Do you know that we have a three-year cycle of readings? Every 3 years, we go through a whole cycle of readings, and in 3 years, the book of the prophet Jonah shows up precisely once, and you just heard it. So I don't want to miss my chance to speak about Jonah, because Jonah's a magnificent book. I could preach for hours on the book of the prophet Jonah. Promise I won't do that to you here this morning, but I could, because the prophet Jonah contains within that little book the whole message of the spiritual life. It's all in there. Ancient Christians love the prophet Jonah. If you ever get a chance to go to the catacombs in Rome, if you've been there, or maybe you get a chance to go someday, you look at the Christian artwork that's on the walls, you know, the drawings and the murals and the mosaics set in stone. Very frequently, they depict the prophet Jonah. They were fascinated with Jonah because they saw in Jonah an image of Jesus Christ. Just like Jonah was swallowed up by the whale, so was Jesus Christ swallowed up in death. And just like Jonah came back after 3 days, so too Jesus Christ rises from the dead on the third day. And you know, just like Jonah traveled a great distance to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, so too did Christ travel, so to speak, an infinite distance from heaven down to earth to preach redemption and repentance to all the nations of the world. It's a fascinating book, the book of the prophet Jonah. Now, I'm going to assume that you already know the story of Jonah and the whale, okay? But do you know the rest of the story of Jonah? Just in case you don't, let me refresh your memory, okay? Jonah was the most reluctant prophet in the Old Testament. Nobody in all the Bible ever did God's will with less enthusiasm than the prophet Jonah. That's because Jonah was given a terrible task by God. Jonah was told to go and to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh. The city of Nineveh, largest city in Assyria, the largest city of the most powerful nation in the world. And God says to Jonah, "And you go off on your own, you preach repentance to them." It's like, go preach repentance to Manhattan. Try to get them to bewail their sins on Broadway and get everybody on Wall Street to wear sackcloth and ashes. It was a terrible job. And so Jonah, he scratches his head and he thinks to himself, you know, I don't think this is going to end well for me. At best, I'm going to get laughed out of town. And at worst, I'm going to get maimed or maybe killed. So what does Jonah do? Jonah does the same thing that most all of us do whenever there's something we know we're supposed to do and we really don't want to do it. Jonah runs away. Jonah runs as far as he can possibly run. His job was to go 500 miles to the east, to the city of Nineveh. So what does Jonah do? He hops a boat 2,500 miles to the west, to the city of Tarshish. Tarshish is Hebrew for Timbuktu. Right? You can't get any further away. They say that it was probably around the Straits of Gibraltar, you know, Spain, Portugal, thereabouts. In other words, it was the limits of the known world, and it's as far away as you can get. So there's Jonah, right? Hops on a boat, and he wipes the sweat off his brow, and he says, I did it. I ran away from God. Gentle smile on his face, snuggles up in a corner of the boat, and quickly lulls off to a peaceful and restful slumber. When suddenly, out of nowhere, a storm whips up on the seas. Passengers on the boat are beside themselves with worry, and they tear at their hair, and they wake up Jonah, and they say, Jonah, wake up. There's a terrible storm whipped up on the seas, and nobody knows what caused it. And here's where Jonah fesses up, and Jonah says, I know what caused the storm. I caused the storm. You see, I'm a prophet of the God of Israel, and right now I'm running away from what he asked me to do. So you know what the people on the boat did to Jonah? They threw him overboard, right? They threw him overboard. They had more trust in God than Jonah had. Now here's the famous part of the story where Jonah gets swallowed up by the whale, and after a whale of a ride, he gets spewed up on the sea, get this, in the exact same place he ran away from God to begin with. And that's where our first reading begins. And God turns to the prophet Jonah, and he says, Now Jonah, go to the city of Nineveh and tell them the message that I will give you. So Jonah drags his feet, walks up to Nineveh, and he says, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Lo and behold, the whole city repents. Sackcloth, ashes, whole nine yards, and the chastisement that God had threatened to inflict upon the city of Nineveh doesn't do it anymore. There's no more need. Everybody's repented. What's the point, right? Now, the story of Jonah, it contains so many lessons. Let me just give you four. Okay? Four lessons from the book of the prophet Jonah here this morning. Hope you find these helpful. Right, here's the first. First lesson from Jonah is you can't run from God. Jonah tried. Tried as hard as he could, ran as far away from God as he possibly could run. And what happened to Jonah? He ran smack into a storm. Just like we do. Figuratively speaking, whenever we try to run from God's will, most of the storms of our lives are our own handiwork. I've heard it put this way. You know, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. We are the architects, by and large, of our own misery because of breaking God's good commandments. Imagine this now in your mind. How many homes are destroyed by the sin of lust? Don't you dare estimate, right? But it's a lot. How many people sacrifice their health on the altar of gluttony or the pleasures of the body? How many people live their days in anxiety and neuroticism because they're living in the minds of other people instead of in the mind of God? We lose their peace at the altar of greed. We're the architects of our own unhappiness. Little thought experiment. I like to think about this. God gave us 10 commandments. Take any one of those 10 and imagine how different would this world be if everybody lived by it. Thou shalt not steal, for example. What would this world look like if everybody obeyed just that one commandment? You can't imagine it, just how different it would be. You know, it's hard to keep God's commandments, I'm telling you. But the prophet Jonah tells us it's a lot harder to break them. It's burdensome to try to live your life obeying what God asks of you, but it's nothing anywhere near like the burden of trying to live your life obeying your whims. One of the lessons that you can learn, now if you're wise, we'll learn this, and Jonah shows us this. When something's stirring in our hearts and souls, when we experience a storm, we're wise and we stop and ask this question. Am I doing anything to cause this? And you know what? The answer is almost always yes. Because it's the first lesson from the book of the prophet Jonah. You can't run from God. Here's another lesson from Jonah. The hardships of life bring you to exactly where you are supposed to be. Now, don't misunderstand. God does not cause
the hardships and the sufferings and the pains of life. You know, it's no part of your Heavenly Father's plan that a single one of his little ones should ever have to come to grief. It doesn't cause our sufferings, but he sure does use them. Uses them to make us who we were made to be in the first place. Like gold refined in the fire, like silver put into the furnace, not so much to take us to a place where we're supposed to be, but to put his place in our hearts, making us who he made us to be. Just like Jonah, you know, he tries to run away, and he's spewed up exactly where he's supposed to be. You ever had this experience before? You think you're gonna make your life better by changing your circumstances, only to discover that once you've changed your circumstances, you have the exact same problems as before. Maybe you think you're going to change your place of work, or you're going to change your place of residence, or you're going to change your relationship, or you're going to change your friendship, and you say to yourself, now at last I'm going to be happy. And you discover that even though your circumstances have changed, you have the exact same problems. Because your trouble was never in your circumstances. Trouble was in the person staring you back in the mirror. It's a lesson from the book of the prophet Jonah. Stand fast in the storms of life. They are not without their purpose. Here's a third lesson from the book of the prophet Jonah, and maybe the most important one for our own time. Namely, that God loves your enemies. And he wants us to love our enemies too. You know, the number one reason why Jonah did not want to preach repentance to Nineveh, and you don't hear it because the first reading stops too short. If they'd added just one more sentence to the end of the first reading, we would have heard the reason. The number one reason Jonah did not want to preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, it wasn't just because he thought he'd be laughed out of town. Jonah didn't want to preach repentance to Nineveh because Jonah didn't want Nineveh to repent. God had promised to rain down fire and hell on Nineveh. Nineveh, capital of Assyria, Israel's worst enemy. Fire and hell. Jonah hears that and he says, that sounds good to me. Fry my enemies, God, please. I can't wait to sit back, eat popcorn, and watch. But God didn't want to destroy Nineveh. God wanted to save Nineveh. When Nineveh repented, Jonah was mad. Because Jonah, he lived in his own little tribe with people who think just like him. And as far as he was concerned, the rest of the world could just go to hell. And doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar? We're living in very divided times, and they're only getting more divided. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't stand up for principles, fight for the truth where it needs to be fought, sometimes even raise our voices in a very respectful but strong disagreement. But we cannot give in ever to the temptation to hate our enemies, ever, or to tribe up. And I think that as far as we're concerned, anybody who's not in our tribe, they might as well just drop dead. Strong temptation for all of us. But in our time, we can't afford it. When Christianity is really coming in the crosshairs of society, we have to be witnesses. We can't even afford to be good Christians. We've got to become exemplary Christians, all of us. And it's like what St. John said in his gospel, we need to put into our hearts. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. He came into this world to save it. And that means to save it through us as well. Last little lesson here from the book of the prophet Jonah is that God doesn't need very much from you. All he needs is your cooperation. You know, Jonah dragged his feet and he barely even tried, but it was enough. It was enough. God accomplishes his greatest works not because of your talents and skills and abilities and acumen and specialties. God accomplishes his greatest works in spite of those things. And he does this all through the Bible. You look at the story of King David, who beat Goliath, and all he had was a rock. I love that story. All he had was a rock, and he won. Or Gideon takes on an army of 30,000 people, and he wins. All he's got is 300 people. Or how about Jesus? Here in our gospel, calling off apostles on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to use these guys to be the foundation stones of the church. Unlettered fishermen, a couple of ragtag political misfits, and a spare tax collector. These guys become the foundation of the church to show that it's not them who's at work. It's God who's at work. And it's a great lesson, a great relief, honestly, for all of us. Don't worry about living a holy life. Don't even worry about living a holy day. Don't even worry about living a holy hour. What we want to focus on is living a holy moment. Give it to God right now. That's all he needs. And he will do the rest. A few little lessons now from the book of the prophet Jonah, among many. Don't run from God. Be careful about nursing bitter grudges. Hang on in faith, even when things don't make sense, and offer to God what you have, even when you don't think it's enough. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.